addiction ever be cured. Walking around, talking about it, giving bayans about it. Having it beautifully written, framed up. People come in his house and say, just look at this, mashallah, this prescription here. How lovely it's framed also. Yeah, I paid a lot on the frame also. A calligrapher wrote it beautifully. And I'm so sick, you know. So my respected friends and brothers, it is an absurd thing that until and unless he does not put it to practical use, whatever the nature of the prescription, if you went to a hakim, gave a mixture of all those bitter medicines, or you went to a doctor who gave him a whole lot of tablets or whatever it might be, a certain diet to follow, until and unless he does not do it, there will not be results. That is why we've got heaps and heaps of beautiful literature. We've got beautiful lectures and CDs, and we've got so many different avenues where the deen is being told to us. But the trend is a downward trend. And there isn't that improvement. There isn't that shine of Islam that we are supposed to be seeing. There isn't that greatness and that azmat and that respect of Islam that we are seeing. It's not there. We need to ask ourselves. And if there is anybody doing anything with regard to the prescription, the fellow, the sick guy, he takes it, he's very sick, and he gives it to somebody else out there. So why are you not using this prescription? Why are you not making use of it? Do you know what's the benefits of this? And he starts imagining all the benefits. Imagining the benefits of taking the prescription also is not going to make a person well. And telling others and thinking it is for others is also not going to make him well, my respected friends and brothers. And that is what has happened to society. We've got so many beautiful teachings. And we have, mashallah, used it in different ways. We have preserved it in two beautiful covered books. We have got it beautifully in posters. We've got beautifully in frames. We give beautiful long, long lectures about it. Everything is being done with regard to our teachings. But nothing is happening. But we got it. We got it. Alhamdulillah, it's ours. And over and above that, when it comes to practicing on it, then we'll say, why are you not doing that? Why did he not show courtesy? Why did he get so angry? Why can't he show forgiveness? Why couldn't he give charity? Why did he not do this? Why did he have to do that? Why did they have to do that? Why did they not do that? So everybody else is expected to do or not do something according to the prescription. But we who are sick, we're not doing anything about it. So we will not get cured, my respected friends and brothers. And so we find the questions keep on being asked because everybody is looking that side, that he has got neighbors. He did not fulfill the right of his neighbors. He's got an employee. Why didn't he do this? He's an employer. Why didn't he do that? Again, the same thing, that who is sick and who needs to be taking the prescription, who needs to be implementing it and administering it upon himself. So these are the questions we are supposed to ask ourselves. And we have to ask ourselves that, you know what, the Quran and the Hadith, Islam and Deen and Wahi, who did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam come and give it to? Only to the others, not to us. Islam is only for the others. Why are they not doing? Why he is doing? Why he didn't do? Why they didn't do? Why didn't I do? Why didn't I do something like that? And in this way we find that people neglect themselves to such an extent that they're going down and down and down, expecting someone else to pick up the prescription and to put it to good use in different ways. When others are sick or when others are not doing something, we're very quick to see it. But when we are not doing the things correctly, when we are wrong, then we don't see it. We can't forgive. Why must I go and apologize? Why must he have the last say? So what we are saying, my respected friends and brothers, up to this point, we need to understand that if we can just be intelligent enough to apply the teachings of the prescription of the noble Quran and the Sunnah of Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam upon us, Wallahi al-Azim, my brothers, Allah, let us see the reality of this statement. We will see the upward trend. We will not see window dressing. We will not see flowery messages out there, beautiful sayings, subhanAllah, what lovely sayings are being said there. And the people that are sending the sayings and the people that are reading them and the people that are making them up, nothing happening there. But if we can just have this particular realization, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran. Allah ta'ala tells us, the message is simple, that, you know, mankind was dead. There was absolutely nothing in terms of their spiritual life. There was no spirituality left. When there's no spirit, then it's dead. The soul was gone. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his beautiful teachings. And when he came with his beautiful teachings, my respected friends and brothers, what happened? Allah says, O man kana maitan fa ahyaynahu. Then we gave them life. So the life was injected and the ruh was once more revived through these things. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا. And we gave him, we made for him a light. And this light were the same teachings, what we refer to in this bayaniya as a prescription. وَجَعَلْنَا لَهُ نُورًا. So we've got the light, mashallah. We've got the prescription. And now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. يَمْشِي بِهِ فِي النَّاسِ. That he must walk with it amongst the people. Deenul Islam, the teachings of Deenul Islam are not some things that we just put it away in the pocket or frame it up or give long lectures about it. Walk with it amongst the people, meaning what? That you are going to be in various situations that you will now have the opportunity to practically implement one or other of these teachings on every given moment. Somewhere you are going to be a father. Somewhere you are going to be a husband. Somewhere you are going to act like a son. Somewhere you are going to act like a good brother. Somewhere you're going to act like a friend. Somewhere you're going to be an employee. Somewhere you're going to be an employer. Somewhere you're going to be a customer. Someplace you're going to be buying. And in all these things, somewhere you're going to be walking on the road. And in other places, you are going to be driving a vehicle. In these places, there are certain rules and regulations and etiquettes and do's and don'ts, which this prescription is made up of if you are going to apply to it. Yamshi bihi fin nas. You will be walking with it. That is what Deenul Islam is about. So you cannot expect social ills and a deteriorating society to come right when you are sitting with a prescription in your pocket. Yamshi bihi fin nas. Walk with it amongst the people. Live it in a practical way. And then you will see. Not expecting others to do it. That my neighbor did not do this for me. And my friend did not do that for me. And my uncle didn't do that for me. That one did not fulfill that right. I am supposed to fulfill my right. I'm supposed to be the good neighbor. I'm supposed to be the good pedestrian. I'm supposed to be the good vehicle driver. I'm supposed to be whatever, whatever. In all these ways, my respected friends and brothers, there are those people who are going to anger us. They're going to upset us. They're going to frustrate us. Yes, they're going to do that because yamshi bihi fin nas. You're walking amongst humanity. You're walking amongst people. People are not angels. They're not angels. They are people and they are going to do all kinds of things to upset us. And how are we going to interact? We are going to forgive. Are we going to overlook? Are we going to ignore? Are we going to carry on? Are we going to say it's not a problem? And vice versa, we are going to irritate and upset and anger people. How would we like them to treat us? How would we like them to overlook what we have done wrong? Sometimes by design, sometimes by mistake, we also do certain things that cause major irritation to people. We don't realize it or we realize it. And how do we expect people to treat us? So here we are saying, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that the example of the one who has got this light with him, who has got this nur with him, if he walks amongst people, yamshi bihi fin nas, then he will spread that particular light. So it is darkness. We all every day nowadays, you know, having this load shedding story. The man got the light with him and he is keeping it in his pocket. He's complaining it is so dark. And why are these people walking in the darkness here? And why am I walking in the darkness and I'm knocking over this and I'm knocking over that? But take out the light and shine it and everything will be sorted out. Allah says we gave you that particular light. So whether it's a sick person or whether it's a person in the darkness, what we have to ask ourselves is, are we practically implementing? It's very good for me to stand and give bayan. Other we mentioned, you know, when we're speaking on the sickness of anger. It's good to give a bayan on that. But when somebody angers us, How do we respond on that split second of a moment? It's good to tell others, you know, mustn't get angry and you must drink your anger up, and very easy to say it. But when we are faced with that split second moment and somebody works on our nerves and angers us to, you can't imagine to where, at that time, my brother, that is where the point comes in, to show your tolerance at that time, to show your hilm, as we refer to it in Arabic, the nature and the aspect of forgiveness and overlooking. Beautiful ayat, beautiful hadith can be quoted, long books can be written about it. Yamshi bihi fin nas. Use it and walk amongst the people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Then, my respected friends and brothers, the results will be much, much more greater. And we will find that society is going on an upward trend in as far as their lives are concerned. So, alhamdulillah, the beauty of Islam is this, that there isn't a separate set of rules for social interaction and a separate set of rules for ibadat. It's all in one. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Islam so beautiful that everything is integrated in there. Your natural needs are connected to Islamic teachings in such a way that if you carry out your natural needs according to Islamic way, there will be this perfect harmonization of society in every aspect. But what happens is we separate the two. So where it suits us, we'll give the man a nice good smile, because we need to get maybe a deal to be done out of him, or whatever it might be. Or we went for a gush to his house, we knocked on his door, gave him a nice good smile, mashallah, brother Jamaat is here. And after that, we see him in the street, we didn't make him salam. It's wrong what we are doing. So with a smile must not be used. I'm not saying brothers of the Jamaat do that, I'm saying must be careful. And people want to get a deal out from somebody, matlab, so the smile is for matlab. Assalamu alaikum, my dear brother, give him a nice hug, because there was some matlab around there. That is not what Islam is. It is supposed to be an ongoing thing at all times. Why didn't he greet me? Why didn't I greet him first? That is what we are supposed to be asking ourselves. The teachings of Islam, subhanallah, are this, that every ibadat, especially the faraz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put the cure for the reformation and the rectification of the ills of society. It's there. But what we do, Ramadan came, Sehri Iftar, mashallah. We stayed away, had our savories, had our whatever in the morning. Ramadan was over, Eid came, and then finished next Ramadan. No, my brothers. Salah time, we came to the masjid, we made our wudu, read Salah, and we're gone. In every one of these ibadat, we must become conscious that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put great amount of cure. In the salat tanha, and it fahsha'i wal munkar. Allah says, verily in salah, aqim is salah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in aqim is establish salah. Because verily in salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, will stop you from immorality, from lewdness, from shamelessness, and from evil. That's what Allah has put in the salah. So what kind of a salah are we reading? If it's not happening, is our salah regular? Is our salah that salah that is required, or is just an up and down story and be gone from here? Is the wudu correct? Is the niyyah correct? Is a lot of things correct? Is it just an attendance in a masjid and out from here, or we are reading at home? No. Aqimi salah means an established salah, one that is being perfected and improved all the time. So my respected friends and brothers, that salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, it will save you from immorality and shamelessness, which is a scourge, which is the scourge of society today. The bihaya'i, the shamelessness that we find in society, in the actions of people, in the words of people, there is no cure for it. Allah Ta'ala says it in salah. With the social media, the amount of haram and the amount of things that are being displayed, we repeatedly tell our Muslims, especially our sisters, don't put your pictures of your half-nude self on Instagram and wherever else it might be. Because people pick it up on Facebook, and then they're proposing to you, but they're proposing to 10 other girls at the same time. And the poor girl is falling, "Ma, I need to make istikhara. Someone has proposed to me." Okay, make istikhara. Then after she becomes so affected and attached, then we come to find the guy has been proposing to 12 other people at the same time. He was playing a game. All started with this. We must monitor the children, and we must monitor their phones. This is just by the way. And look at what kind of pictures are sometimes put there. Any function takes place, pictures are being taken and being displayed, and we don't know where and where and who are getting these photos and those pictures of all this immoral stuff. So inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar. The salah will be right, that aspect of society will be sorted out. When, mashallah, when we give zakat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you have been purified. تُطَهِّرُهُمْ خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً تُطَهِّرُهُمْ بِهَا وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ بِهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've been purified through your zakat. That means that filth that a person had in his heart, the sickness of the love of wealth is taken away. And all other sicknesses pertaining to wealth, lots of sicknesses. A man is busy sitting and scheming. How can I do that fellow down? How can I cut that guy's pockets? How can I pickpocket that one? Or how can I pull a scam and pull a job with him? Whatever it might be. All those are results of sicknesses in the heart related to the love of wealth. Through zakat, all that will be gone. Allah Ta'ala has put it in our salah, in our zakat. When a person is fasting, alhamdulillah, we heard so many lessons in the month of Ramadan. The fast, la'allakum tattaqoon, it makes us conscious. It is a shield, not only a shield from Jahannam, it's a shield, our fast. It shields us from so many wrong things. That is what our fast is supposed to have done. And when we go for Hajj, subhanallah, Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا رَفَثَ وَلَا فُسُوقَ وَلَا جِدَالَ فِي الْحَجِ. That when you are in Hajj, then you are Your conduct and your approach should be of a dignified, of a person that is very, very upright and virtuous. Not only when you're in Ihram and after Ihram you start messing around again, then again the 5 days come, then you can start behaving again. No. The entire journey of Hajj is supposed to be that. فَلَا رَفَثَ. There must be no lewd talk, there must be no rude talk. وَلَا فُسُوقَ. And there must be no evil. And there must be no arguing, and there must be no fighting. Just today one of my brothers was telling me, this morning, he says, we need to educate our people. You know, now with the construction of the Haram, those Saudi police, whether we like them or not, they are doing their job. They have to do crowd control. If they block people by barrier, they don't have to go. We find people are standing and cursing them there in the haram. That you will see when you go to Jannah or when you go to the Akhirat, and you will see this will happen to you. And if they don't control, you will see what happened to you there just now. How many times there have been stampedes there? So this behavior in front of the Kaaba, in front of the Hajar al-Aswad, where it is Mina, wherever it might be, in Arafat, Hajj teaches us that we are supposed to conduct ourselves. And in this ibadat of Hajj, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put such beautiful lessons and teachings that will make us a socially pure and a socially upright community, inshaAllah.